right. You came back. It's been great being here. I've really enjoyed it. And hope you've been able to get something out of all of this. Amen. So, I'm just having fun. At your expense. Amen. Amen. All right. Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles. Yes, again. I heard that. But this is Second Chronicles, so you know, try to keep up. All right. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Glad to see you all here. Glad my mother made it up. Sister-in-law from Rochester. So, some other folks. Brother Grissom's here from Hastings. Right? Is that right? Did I get it right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad you all are here. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. And we'll start reading down here, verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask for your blessing here tonight. We ask you forgive us our sin. Fill me with the Spirit of God, Lord, and remove all the activity of the day, and help us, Lord, to set aside our burdens, our cares, troubles, whatever it is, that we might be able to focus our hearts, our attention on the Word of God. I pray you grant this congregation ears to hear, that they might be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me with the Spirit of God. Help me to say all that needs to be said. And Lord, that you would help this church. Lord, that you'd help them to draw closer to thee. You'd encourage them. You'd strengthen them. You'd edify them. You'd build them up and help them, Lord, to keep carrying on and doing the right thing for your sake. And we'll give you the glory for all that happens. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you from this verse, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Let me back up and say we had a great time. I don't really get to go out and do a lot of the things that I would like to do. Amen. And so when Brother Kyle had called me and asked me to come up here, we were talking about things. He said, "Oh yeah, we go out to the university and we preach." I said, "Oh, I want to go. Can I go with you?" And we went. It was great. I had a great time. We got to preach, passed out tracts, and I saw a couple of conversations going on, not many, but we had some conversations. We always had there's always the knuckleheads that want to stir up trouble, amen, but you know, you expect that. But it really wasn't that much trouble, so apparently my gifts are dissipating or something. I didn't make anybody mad, but amen. Well, we had a good time anyway. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed going out there. So I'm thankful to see churches that still get out on the streets and get out in public. And went to dinner with Jeff and Renee, and he was telling me some of the things that he's been doing and going, and that's fantastic. That's wonderful. I'm excited about that. I want to commend you all for doing that and keeping after it all these many years. Amen. We're going to preach you tonight here, "The battle is not yours but God's." And just to kind of remind you, listen, I don't pick the messages, okay? You know, just so you know, I mean, this may sound like a broken record here tonight, but I don't pick the message. I go home, I go get down on my knees and say, "Lord, what do you want me to preach?" And he says, "Preach that." Okay, that's what we'll preach. Amen. So it may seem somewhat repetitive compared to the last two nights, but apparently the Lord's trying to give you something here. I don't know. I just preach, I have fun, and I go home. Amen. And let God take care of the rest of it. And so we're talking about spiritual battle. We are in a war, am I right? I mean, remember back two nights? Can you remember back that far? Okay, all right. So, talked about spiritual warfare, being a soldier for Christ, amen? We're familiar with the terminology, we're familiar with the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, the put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, right? You know, all the armament there that is listed in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're familiar with the other passages, such as in Daniel where Daniel gets down and he prays, and he didn't get an answer. I think it was something like 21 days or something like that. Finally, the angel of the Lord shows up, and he says, I would have been here sooner, but there was the prince of Persia that withstood me. And so even in prayer, there's spiritual battle going on. Am I right? Amen. We're all together on the same page. This is yes. This is no. We're good. Okay. Just want to make sure. I know it's Friday. I know you've had a long work week. I know that some of you are tired, and so I appreciate you being here. I said to the others out there at the campus, I said, man, why go bar hopping when you can go street preaching? This is so much more fun. Amen. So spiritual battle. And so I want to go through this passage here in 2 Chronicles and look at some things, some lessons maybe that we can learn. I just know that in my own personal life and being a pastor and being in a ministry for many years now, I've seen people struggle. I know that I've had places in my life where I've struggled with. And so maybe tonight we can get some help from the Scripture and learn some things that maybe we can put into practice and help you. Amen? So let's look at this first. The battle is not yours, but God's. So let's go back up here into the passage a little bit and find out where this battle started from. Chapter 20, verse 1, it says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. We find out later on those others are the Edomites from Mount Seir. And then it says, verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi, or En-Gedi. If I remember my Bible geography correctly, En-Gedi, that's on the west side of the Dead Sea, about halfway down. So, I mean, they're not that far from Jerusalem. I mean, there's this major army that has come up around the Dead Sea, and they're on the western banks of the Dead Sea, and they're looking at Jerusalem. It's not that far away. Now, the first thing here, the first lesson I want you to take note of tonight is this. This is an unprovoked attack. All right, now, if we go back to chapter 19, if we go back to chapter 18, I'll just summarize chapter 18. Chapter 18 is when Jehoshaphat made affinity with Ahab, and then Ahab and Jehoshaphat go out against Syria. And you remember the story, Ahab ends up being killed in that. And they come back, Jehoshaphat comes back to Jerusalem, chapter 19, verse 1. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Well, that's a message right there, amen. And as a matter of fact, I do have a message. We're not going to preach that tonight. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And it goes on, the rest of chapter 19 details the things that Jehoshaphat did for Judah. The name Jehoshaphat is significant. Jehoshaphat's name means Jehovah is judge. Jehovah is judge. That's what his name means. Now, in chapter 19, we see several things. Verse number 3, his heart was prepared to seek the Lord. In verse number 4, it says, Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. Jehoshaphat is actually going up into the northern kingdom under Ahab, and he's getting remnants that are, and bringing them and say, hey, we're worshiping Jehovah. We're restoring temple worship. You need to come down here and worship with us. So Jehoshaphat's doing some good things. And it starts there, verse 3, he'd prepared his heart. Amen? Now, look, we have these meetings. It's not that you just show up. There's some preparation that should go into it ahead of time. Am I right? I heard the pastor mentioning some fasting, some praying. I know I've been praying. I know our church has been praying. I've had some other men that have been praying. To me, this is not a small thing. This is a big deal to stand in front of God's people and open up God's book and say, thus saith the Lord. There takes some preparation for that. Some of you younger folks here, you want to do something for the Lord. You need to prepare your heart. You say, how do I do that? You read your Bible. You could start with that. Amen. I mean, who reads their Bible anymore? Who reads at all anymore? I mean, everyone walks around like this, and there are zombies, but they're attached to this stupid phone. I have one of the teenagers in our neighborhood, a next-door neighbor, and I feel so, I love this young girl. Her name's Hannah, and a beautiful young lady. It's like every time I see her, she's got this phone in her hand, and she never puts it down. She's come to church, and she sits in the back row like this the whole time. Like, would you just put the thing down? This is church. We're worshiping the Lord. Amen? And she was over at our house the other night. We were eating dinner, and we offered her food. She didn't want to eat. She's got her phone going. And I said, Hannah, do you ever put your phone down? And she goes, why would I do that? And I had just read an article saying something about teenagers. The more time you spend on social media, the more prone you are to depression. So I kind of distracted her, tried to get her attention. I started talking about this and, indirectly trying to jab, so we're talking amongst ourselves. And then I look over at Hannah and she's doing this. Like in one ear, out the other, not even paying attention. Amen. You young people, you need to prepare your hearts to serve the Lord. Now, look. You're not going to get through life without making blunders. You're not going to get through life without making mistakes. Amen? We all make mistakes. The difference is if your heart is prepared to serve the Lord, when you make those mistakes, God can pull you out and maybe kind of sort of fix it, but at least get you back in the right direction. Amen? Some things you cannot undo. Some things you can. So just depending. And somebody said, a cool head, warm heart. Amen? You keep your heart warm. You prepare your heart to seek the Lord. You surrender to God's will. You make a mistake, just get back on track and keep trucking. Amen? Just keep going. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord. He brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers, verse number 4. Verse number 5 through 7, he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man but for the Lord. He reinstalled some judges that would judge properly according to the Scripture. Amen? Aren't you thankful we got a president who's giving us some decent judges? Amen? Amen? I just read an article, a federal judge, and I think it's the 3rd District in Pennsylvania, the atheists, the knuckleheads, they had sued the state of Pennsylvania so that they could pray. And the federal judge said, prayer admits that there's a higher power. You say there is no higher power, you don't get to pray. Amen. Thank God somebody had some common sense. Amen. All right, he appointed judges. Verse 8. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. He charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. Oh, that we would have government leaders that would get all of the other leaders together and say, rule righteously according to Scripture. Amen. Wouldn't that be a refreshing change? So Jehoshaphat puts in all these reformations. And then in chapter 20, what is the result? The Ammonites and the Moabites and the Edomites all come up to attack Jerusalem. Why? Why? Israel's just sitting there minding their own business. They're not attacking anybody. They're not trying to conquer any territory. They're just taking care of themselves. And yet, these other nations come up against Israel for what reason? It kind of makes you wonder about today. Why is there this fascination? He read the statistic, 14 million compared to the world's population of over 7 billion. Less than 1% of the entire global population. Why is there so much anti-Semitism? I can tell you why. It's demonic. It is demonic. The devil hates Israel because Jesus Christ is connected to Israel. If he can wipe Israel off the map, he can declare God to be a liar. So it's a demonic thing that they are so anti-Israel. There is no other explanation. Why in the world would you fight over this? If you looked on a map, you seen how big the world is? This little teeny piece? We're going to fight over that. you got a bigger country. Why are you so upset about them having that little teeny rectangle over there? Amen? I mean, seriously, there's nothing there. I tell you why. Because God said it was his land, and the devil's mad about it. Amen? It's a demonic thing. Now, the lesson that we can learn here tonight is this. Jehoshaphat is busy doing things for God, and there's an enemy out there that's watching and says, okay, well, it's time for me to take action. Now, we're talking about spiritual warfare, right? If you're going to do something for the Lord, devil's going to come after you. If you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you make some decisions to surrender to the Lord and you say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go, you can expect some opposition. Say, but why? I haven't done anything. Look, the devil hates Jesus Christ, and you are God's son. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. The devil's going to come after you. Amen? I stand in amazement. Our church is small. I mean, 10, 15 people. You know how hard it is for us to get people to come to church? I mean, seriously, we could hog time and tie them to the bumper of our vehicles. They would find a way to wriggle out before they got to our church. They just don't want to come. I don't know why. What is the problem here? There is a devil out there that hates us. Amen? We don't really have to do anything big or spectacular. All you have to do is have a heart prepared to seek the Lord and try to do something for the Lord, and the devil's going to come after you. Amen? So our enemy attacks when blessings are evident. All you have to do is take that first step and you'll get walloped. Amen? Praise the Lord. Such a nice, sweet, positive message. You know, your best life now. Pop! You know? Amen. You shouldn't pick on other people. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so our enemy attacks when God's blessings are evident. I have to keep track of where I am. Okay. My handwriting's not all that great. So here we have the stage set now. How did Jehoshaphat meet the enemy? Now, this is where I'm going to try to help you, okay? What do I do when the enemy attacks? Well, the first thing Jehoshaphat did was this. Look down here, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. All right, three things here. First, Jehoshaphat feared. It says right there, Jehoshaphat feared. Now, there's different kinds of fear in the Bible. I hope you understand that. And there's different kinds of fear that you're going to experience in your life. Now, my dad, and I love my dad put the fear of God into me, amen, as the saying is, and it's true. But I never questioned my dad's love for me, all right? Now, when my dad said or made a rule, I knew. If he said this would happen, that was going to happen. So, you know, calculated risks, you know. Now, me, I'm the risk taker, so I think, well, let's see. I know he said that, but maybe I can figure out a way around it, you know? And no, it never worked. Amen. He always got me. And so there was this fear of my father in me that was ingrained in me from a little child, and even though I challenged him many times, growing up, amen, I knew that when he said something, he meant it, and you were just taking the risk. And most of the time I lost, but as you... No, here I am. And the fear that I had for my father was not a fear that drove me away from him. It was a fear that created respect in me for him. I've never questioned his love, even though I was afraid, if you can understand that. So there's a good, healthy fear that will pull you into a relationship. And then there's a bad fear, and just think of it in terms of an abusive relationship, an abusive parent, where that child is so afraid that they can't move, they're paralyzed with that fear, all right? That's a bad kind of fear. Jehoshaphat here, it says here, he feared. Why? Well, there's this huge army coming, and he says later, we have no power to defend ourselves. We're afraid. There's nothing that we can do. Now, listen, when it comes to doing spiritual battle, you have to remember, your enemy is no one to be trifled with. Now, I understand, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I understand that Lord won the battle at Calvary. I understand all these doctrinal things. But the bottom line of it is that there is a real devil out there, and he will come against you, and you cannot play games with the devil. He is somebody to be feared. I think of the story of Job. And Job was, you know, laying there complaining, Lord, why is all these things happening to me? And the Lord shows up and he says, look, I am God. I am all powerful. You read God's testimony of himself. And you read, I created the universe. I created the stars. I created the animal kingdom. I created the planet. I did all of these great and wonderful things. I am not the problem. Let me show you your enemy. Pulls the curtain back. Here's Leviathan. It wasn't a dinosaur, okay? That was the devil. He's king over all the children of pride, and he takes an entire chapter to describe your enemy. That should instill some fear. This is nobody that we take for granted. Your enemy walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. A lion is not anything you want to meet on the street. Amen. He's fine behind the cage. Amen. You don't stick your hand through the cage. Amen. Amen. You might not have a hand left. Lions are fierce, ferocious beasts. You leave them alone. That's what the devil is. Now, Jehoshaphat did not have to provoke a fight. He wasn't looking for a fight. He's just trying to live peacefully, and the enemy shows up at his doorstep while he's afraid. You should be afraid. There is a healthy fear that you ought to have for the devil, because he doesn't play around. And by the way, he doesn't lose too much either. There's only one human being that has ever lived in all of history that has defeated the devil, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken out better than me and greater than me. Amen? And if he's taken out some giants in the past, he can take you out too. So you better be careful. The second thing here in these verses is, it says, he sought the Lord. Verse 4, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So when you're in a spiritual battle, which is daily, it should be, amen, you need to seek the Lord. This is simple, basic Christianity 101. He sought the Lord. And the ground that he had laid in chapter 19 gets the entire nation ready, amen? Remember what we talked about last night, building for tomorrow? Jehoshaphat had no idea what was coming down the road, but he did the right thing at the right time, and it sets the foundation for the next big thing. It's important that you read your Bible daily and regularly. You say, why? You don't know what's coming. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You need to be in church every service possible. You say, why? You don't know what's coming down the road. You don't know what the next temptation is going to be. You don't know what the next battle is going to be. And every service you get is just putting more ammunition and more food and more things at your disposal for you to use in that next battle. And when you miss, you're missing another potential weapon that you could use. I just don't seem to be getting much. Just sit back and enjoy it, amen? You're getting more than what you think you're getting. Amen? You know, think of a little child sitting down at the dinner table. Mom, I don't want to eat that. Why not? Well, I just don't think I'm getting much nutrition. What? Shut up and eat your food. Amen? It just doesn't seem like it's doing much good, Mom. Well, you can sit there till it's gone. Amen? My mother can attest. I remember one time she said that to me. I sat at that table for 2 hours, I think it was, or something stupid like that. I was not going to eat that food. You eat your food. Why? Do you feel like you're getting healthy? Do you feel the nutrition oozing into your cells? No, you eat. You're like, oh, that looks good. Right? Cookie Monster. Right? Right? You don't skip meals. But you skip church. You don't skip meals, but you skip reading your Bible. Amen? See, why is that important? It's preparing you for the next round. So keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. He sought the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." You know, there's times when it seems like the Lord is far away, I'm not wandering off into heresy. I know what the Scripture says. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I know this, when it came to Hezekiah, the Bible says God left him to see what was in his heart. And there's going to be times when God's going to put you in a situation and step back and say, let's see what he does. Amen? Would he do that? He did it to Hezekiah. I know I've felt similar situations in my own life. He said, well, what'd you do? Lord, I'm scared to do anything right now. I'm just going to do what I know to be right. And if anything questionable comes up, I'm not even going to venture into that. I'm just going to stick with what I know is right. You can never go wrong when you go with Scripture. Amen? Amen. He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 4 says this, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." What happened? What should I do when the enemy comes knocking on my doorstep? Get down on your knees and say, God, help me. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. He prayed. Now, Hezekiah, the next thing he does, here, verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And then he prays. So, what's he done? He's prepared himself. He didn't know it was coming. He just did what was right. He's prepared himself. He has a healthy fear of our enemy. He seeks the Lord. And then the next thing he does is this, is he prays. I mean, praying is good. Am I right? Yes. No. Yes. Prayer is good. Amen. All right. And if we go through this prayer, there's several points here that he makes. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Jehoshaphat is attributing the power and glory to God that he deserves. Amen? Listen, we do not serve an idol. Our God is not limited. Amen? Our God is not a block of wood that you have to polish and shine and clean and pick up and move and all of that kind of stuff. You ever wonder why people worship idols? They can't do anything. Amen? Our God is powerful. Our God created the universe. And yet He cares about us. He loves us. He wants to bless us. He wants to see you grow. He wants to bless you and see you succeed, if we could use that term. He's not out to get you. The devil is out to get you. So he acknowledges God's greatness, and then he claims some promises. Look at verse 7. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? He said, wait a minute, we're in the land. You promised that this land would belong to Abraham. We're from Abraham. This is our land. You gave us this land. Amen? We're just living in your promise. He follows the Scripture. Look at verse number 9. If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. That was the prayer that Solomon made at the dedication of the temple, 1 Kings chapter 8. And Jehoshaphat is saying, hey, this is what we were told to do. We're doing what we're told to do. We're following the instruction from Scripture. Right? Why do you think we keep saying, read your Bible? Amen. I'm sure Brother Kyle does the same thing. I mean, do you ever tell him to read their Bibles? Every once in a while? Okay. Why do you keep harping on it? Why do you keep harping on it? Because you need to read it so that you know what's in it. So that when you are under a spiritual attack, you have something to use. Amen. Praise the Lord. He follows the scripture. He makes a declaration of innocence. Verse number 10. Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Now, if we got to go all the way back, I hope you can remember I know you've memorized the entire Bible by now, right? If you remember when Israel came out of Egypt, they wandered through the wilderness, and at the end of 40 years, as they're coming up to come into the land, God said, you cannot attack Moab, you cannot attack Ammon, you cannot attack the Edomites, you have to go around. I've given them their land. You say, why did God give them their land? Because they were still related to Abraham. Ammon and Moab, they came from Lot, Edom, that's Esau, Jacob's brothers. So they're all cousins, and they're all fighting over this little patch of land over there. And Jehoshaphat says, hey, we did what you said to do. This is our land, that's their land. We didn't attack them, we didn't take their land, we didn't fight them. You told us to go around, we went around. And look at how they reward us. Look at what they're doing. They're coming against us. We didn't do anything. And then he calls out to God for help. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. So what do I do when I'm in a spiritual battle? I think the number one mistake that Christians make is that they try to do it themselves. You can't do it yourself. What the Lord had to teach Job was that this battle is not... Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen? Let me say this. I love our country. The problem with our country is not the Republicans or the Democrats. They're both wicked. Amen? Their solution is not found in Washington, D.C. I love our country. I hate to see the direction our country's going. The answer is not political, because the problems are not political. The problems are spiritual in nature. Until we address those issues, nothing will be fixed. If you go back to the Great Awakening of the 1700s, when Bible-believing preachers were going up and down this country, the Atlantic seaboard, and preaching the Word of God, and people were getting saved, things changed. When we got into the 1800s, we had what they called the Second Great Awakening, Bible-believing preachers thundering out the Word of God, denouncing sin, not standing up with polished teeth and curly hair saying, hi. They thundered out the Word of God. They preached against sin. People repented, they got saved, and the country was changed. Until we get to that point, nothing's going to change. It's just going to keep getting worse. I'm thankful for the reprieve we've had, but we still keep sliding in the wrong direction. So, Jehoshaphat says, help. Help. Say, how can I get some victory? Get down on your knees and say, God, I need some help. Amen. Now look at God's answer. This is fantastic. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, all of that. Verse 15. He said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. Be not afraid. First thing here that the Lord says in response to Jehoshaphat's prayer is, do not be afraid. Don't you get afraid sometimes? I'm afraid I'm going to lose my house. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my children. I'm afraid I'm going to lose this. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm afraid the church is going to shut down. I'm afraid everybody's going to leave. I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. The Lord says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Hey, look, what's the worst that could happen to us? They could kill us and we go to heaven, right? Amen. I was down. We have a small, Emerald is a small town, 200,000 people. There's a college town right next to us, a canyon, and there's a college there, West Texas A&M University, a small state university. And when we have opportunity, we'll go down there and preach. And every once in a while, you know, it's just like here. Some days it's like you don't even exist. Other days they just want to take you out and kill you. One day, one guy actually said that. He said, if I had my way, I would take you out and I would put a bullet through your head. I'm not standing there like, I said, you know, that's actually illegal for you to say that. You're threatening me with physical violence. Amen? I mean, he was, right? I said, that seems like a little bit extreme. And when he said that, everyone else was like, whoa, hey, just calm down, you know? And I said, you think that's a threat? And he said, well, yeah, you don't want to die. I said, well, if you kill me, I go to heaven. I'm ready to go. Are you? Amen. Amen. I mean, seriously. And we look at our lives and we just think, it's so terrible, it's so horrible. The Lord says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Why? You have the creator of the universe on your side. Amen. What do you have to be afraid of? I know the enemy seems fierce and ferocious. The Lord's defeated him. He's on your side. Amen. I'm not saying that there won't be moments when that fear creeps up on you. What I am saying is this, is that you need to control that and remember what the scripture says. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong, and it says it over and over again. Moses is getting ready to leave the scene, and Joshua is coming up. Moses is trying to get Joshua ready. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. He says it to him a whole bunch of times. And then Moses finally passes off the scene, and you get to Joshua chapter 1, and now Joshua's in charge. I mean, he's going to be leading in the nation of Israel, several million strong, across the Jordan River to face their enemies, to conquer the land. Do you think there might be a little bit of fear and trepidation on the part of Joshua? This is a big job. Amen. Moses had a hard time doing this. I'm no Moses. I don't know how this is going to work. You know what happened? The Lord shows up to Joshua. He says, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Amen. Joshua, I'm going to be right here with you. Don't worry about it. Amen. You know what courage is? Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going on despite your fear. Amen? Just, okay, here we go. He says, be not afraid nor dismayed. And then he says this, verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Hey, next time anybody goes to Israel, I think Luann and somebody else just went there. Start, just for fun, ask your guide, hey, where is the cliff of Ziz? just for kicks, you know. Hey, is there anything you'd like to see? Yes, I would like to find the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Can we see that? The what? That's just me. I would do that. I would do that, and my girls would look at me and say, Dad, stop. So he says, be not afraid. And he gives him a promise of deliverance. Look at verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Notice he repeats that. Why? Because it's in our nature to be afraid. And when we get afraid, we do dumb things. So don't be afraid. Why? Because God is with you. Amen. Be not afraid, he says. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Goethites and of the children of Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So they get their instructions. Now, we need to remember to depend upon God for help. Let's look at some scriptures, all right? Look, Romans chapter 7. Romans, we're going to come back here to Chronicles, and we're going to finish this up, but I just want to give you a couple of scriptures here about relying upon the Lord to help you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? Hey, listen. I'm against abortion. Okay? I'm against that. I appreciate people who go out and protest abortion. I appreciate that. Those people, you have to remember, they are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. Amen? We have to remember that it's not the Democrats or the Republicans that are our enemy. It's the devil that is our enemy. We have to remember who the real enemy is. He is a master of distraction, and he can get us all distracted with all these other weird things. You know what he likes to do? He likes to get Bible-believing Christians fighting each other over stupid things. Then why? Well, if we're fighting each other, he can do whatever he wants to. Amen? We're not looking at him. We're too busy fussing with each other. And boy, I'm telling you, there's some stupid arguments going on amongst independent King James Bible-believing Baptists. Am I right, my brother Bob? He's back there laughing. There are some stupid fights going on. You know what the devil's doing? They're fighting each other. They can't do what they're supposed to do. He's just laughing at us. Now, Romans chapter 7, look at verse 23. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Entire chapter is the good that I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. We have this constant struggle inside of us, right? And then when we get to chapter 8, he looks down at verse chapter 8, verse 13. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. How can I get some victory in my life? You're going to have to put down the flesh and start walking in the Spirit. Amen? We're not getting crazy on here. We're just talking Bible. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, sometimes Baptists get afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. He is a part of the Godhead. Amen? We're not getting into crazy, weird things here, but we are to walk in the Spirit. It's not a weird feeling or a weird sensation. All it is obeying what God said to do. It's that easy. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll give you an example, and then we'll get back to our text. Ephesians chapter 4. Here's an example, and this is what I mean about putting down your flesh and walking in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The word lasciviousness means loose, wanton, lewd, and lustful. That's what the word means. It's extremely immoral. I mean, we're talking perverted, immoral. Now look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Right? Well, give me an example of that. Okay, verse 25, wherefore put away lying. Right? That's the old man. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. There's the new man. Brother Steve, that just sounds too easy. Okay, try it. Amen? All right, let's look at the next one. Be ye angry and sin not. That cannot be in the original at all. Right? This is old man, new man. Flesh, spirit. It's not hard. But it is hard. I want some victory in my life. Start walking in the Spirit. Deny your flesh. That's what the whole point of fasting is. To deny your flesh. Amen? And start doing what God says to do by faith. And trust Him that it'll work out. You want some victory? Well, walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Put down the old man and let the new man live. Walk in the Spirit. There's other examples we don't have time for, but Colossians chapter 3 is another great. The entire chapter is another one. Put off the deeds of the old man, put on the new man. Amen? Listen, are you saved tonight? Act like it. Amen? Isn't that easy? All right, back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So Jehoshaphat prays. He asks for God's help. God answers him. He says, be not afraid. He promises to deliver them. You go out. He says, go out. You won't have to do a thing. You go out, I'll take care of everything. The battle is not yours, but God's. Now, here's the great part. Jehoshaphat's response. Verse 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. They rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. All right? His first response is faith. Faith. In other words, he just took what God said at his word, and he believed it, and he acted on it. Amen? Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, the reason why you need to come to church, the reason why you need to read your Bible, the reason why you ought to memorize Scripture is so that you can have some promises to hold on to when the going gets tough. The going's going to get tough. Amen? If it ain't tough right now, just hold on a few minutes. It'll get tough. Amen? So what do? You just live by faith. What's it mean to live by faith? We're not talking about some weird, spooky, mystical experience. We're talking about you take what God said, you believe it, you put it into action, trusting that what God said is correct and that it will lead you out in the right place. Amen? Say, give me an example. All right? I can do all things through Christ. That's the part we miss. By the way, that's the part that's changed in the new versions. Amen? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I just can't seem to get the victory in my life. Well, maybe it's because you are trying to get the victory instead of saying, God, help me. Claim the promise. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? I can tell you what. I can't say that I actually have any money. Amen? I can say this. I've never been without food. I've never been without shelter. Amen? God has taken care of me every step of the way. Amen? Sometimes there are people who help. Sometimes there are family members who help. Sometimes, and you know what? That's none of my business. Lord, I have a need. Help. The need is supplied. Doesn't matter where it comes from, because ultimately it comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen? It's great when you just say, okay, Lord, I'm not even going to worry about it anymore. Amen. And because I tell you, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm still young. I want to still claim that name. But, you know, back then, you're just worried and you're fretting over it. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill and how I'm going to do this. And how I just don't know. And now it's like, I don't even care anymore. The money just keeps coming in and the bills keep getting paid and I still have food in the refrigerator and the house payments made every month. Praise the Lord. I mean, why worry about it? God promised that he'd supply my needs and he's been faithful to do it. And now you just go, okay, God, I just trust you to take care of it. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Amen. I told you the other night when the devil was trying to get me to quit giving and it's like, okay, 20 more. Amen. You know what? Ever since then, I haven't had to fight that battle anymore. 20 more. You keep talking. I just keep putting more in. Amen. That's fun. That's fun. Amen. I can laugh about it now. Why? Because because it was a battle that I had to fight, and I just said, okay, God, I trust you to supply all my needs. I'm just going to keep giving. Amen. It's fun. Here's a promise. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, right? All thy ways acknowledge him. And here's the promise, he shall direct thy path. Brother Steve, I'm not sure. I have a question about what to do next. Just trust the Lord. Amen? Everything that you do, you acknowledge him. Say, God, I'm doing my very best to serve you, to live for you every day. I don't know what I should do. Trust him. He'll open doors. He'll close doors. Wait for him. What's the promise? Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Right? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a great promise. Just wait for God. He'll take care of things. Our problem is we get out ahead of the Lord. We're not willing to wait. As you get older, you're more willing to wait. Amen. You're younger, it's hard. You're anxious, and you're just like, I'm ready to go. And God says, just hold on. No, I want to go right now. And then you run up smack dab into a wall. And the Lord says, I told you, just wait. Amen. Okay, after you do that a few times, you learn. Amen. Here's a promise, Psalm 34, verse 17. This is the one chapter in the Bible I do not have memorized, so bear with me. Psalm 34, verse 17. Here's a great promise. You ready? Psalm 34. You don't believe me. I really don't have this chapter memorized. That's true. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. What a great promise. Amen. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want to ask the question. Is anybody here in trouble tonight? Have you sought the Lord? Have you cried out to God? There's the promise for you. It says that he'll hear you. It says that he'll deliver you. You know what Jehoshaphat did? The prophet comes to Jehoshaphat and he says, listen, you don't have to do a thing. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. God's going to deliver you. All you have to do is just walk out there. And the next morning, Jehoshaphat gets up. He says, all right, troops, line up. We're going. God said he'd deliver us. Let's go get the victory. Amen? That's all we got to do. Just trust the Lord. Take him at his word. Claim his promises. Faith. Faith. Second thing here Jehoshaphat does is verse 21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Listen, I don't know why modern Christianity is so afraid of holiness. It's like they do everything in their power to try to blend in. You know, well, we don't want to be extreme. We don't want to be fanatics. Hey, have you watched a football game lately? I have not. But you understand what I'm getting at the point. Those people are nuts. Painting their bodies, you know, and doing all kinds of, you know, they spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on uniforms and jerseys and hats and all this stuff. And, you know, look, they call us crazy. Hey, going out to Lambeau Field when it's, you know, below zero with no shirt on and body paint, that's crazy. Amen. that's out there. Why is the modern Christian so intent upon blending in? You know, it's okay for you to drink, just don't get drunk, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Why would I, you know, I'm gonna dress like the world, I'm gonna talk like the world, I'm gonna act like the world, and then I wonder why people don't get saved. Well, why should they? What's different about you? Now, I do not believe in lifestyle evangelism, but I do believe that your light should shine, and I do believe that there should be a difference between a saved person and a lost person. It should be evident by the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the way that you dress. Everything that you do should be different. Amen? I grew up, when I was growing up, Christians did not go to the theaters. Say, why? We were not going to give our money to those perverts and evil, wicked people to program society. We were not going to do it. Everybody goes to the theater and is now. And if they don't go, they pipe it into their homes. I'm just saying. I'm not judging. Holiness is a beautiful thing. You know what it says about God, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Not one speck of darkness. And it is beautiful. If you read the descriptions of heaven, Isaiah chapter 6, Revelation chapter 4, other chapters throughout the scripture, it's a beautiful, glorious scene. I mean, the seraphims, the cherubims, the angels, the glory, the light, the rainbow, the sea of glass, all that stuff, it has to be fantastic. It has to be beautiful. Why is it so beautiful? Because it's holy. There's no corruption there. There's no sin there. There's nothing evil there. It's God and all of his glory. It's a beautiful thing. Why do we not want that in our lives? It's beautiful. Now, Jehoshaphat here, he exhibits faith in the Word of God, and then the second thing he does is that he worships the Lord. Amen. Now, look, we've talked about the music here. It's great singing. I enjoy the singing. It's fantastic. It's great. And you know what it does? It stirs you up. I tell you, this last month, we had a little mini revival last weekend, and about a month or so or more, my girls and I, and we had a couple others from the church, we would get together on Saturdays, and we would spend about 2 hours practicing special music, special songs for the revival. I'm telling you, and I don't take it lightly. I didn't. And so before every practice, we prayed and said, Lord, I know we're practicing here. We're trying to learn the mechanics of these songs, but we're still going to worship you in our practice. I'm telling you, after about 2 hours of singing, whew, you feel pretty good. Amen. And why? Because you're worshiping the Lord of glory. You're praising his name. You're lifting him up. You're giving him a taste of the glory that he deserves, and it ought to stir your spirit up. Jehoshaphat says, God's given us the victory. Let's go. Let's start singing. Strike up the band. Amen? And they start marching out there to that battlefield and not worrying about a thing, just singing and praising the Lord. Christian music is an important part of the Christian's life. You need good God. We're not talking about contemporary Christian. Half of those people are perverts anyway, and they keep coming out. They keep announcing it. It seems like every other month there's another one saying, I'm gay, I'm this, I'm that, you know. And renouncing, turning their backs on the Lord, just denying Christ altogether. Why would we give them the time of day? Worshipping the Lord. Psalm 149, verse 6 says this, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Amen. Onward, Christian soldiers. Amen. Worshipping the Lord. Then notice with me verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. Isn't that interesting how that's worded? When they began to sing, then God started to work. Amen. Then why were they singing? Because they trusted the Lord. You sing, that's a victory song. You sing because of the victory that you have. You sing because you're happy. You sing because of the joy of the Lord. So they're marching off to war. They're not marching out like, rrr, arr, arr. The promise was that God would defeat their enemies, right? Music is very important. Good, clean, godly Christian music we're talking about. Amen? They're singing. And as soon as they started singing, God says, okay, they're acting in faith. Okay, I'll go ahead and do what I said I'd do. Amen? Get you a song. Get you some good, clean Christian music. It'll help you. It'll help you. It will really help you. So here we go, verse 22. They began to sing and to praise. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Verse 23. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. Say, what's that? That's what's going on in the Middle East. Iran hates Israel, but they hate Iraq too. And they hate Pakistan. They just fight everybody. Everybody over there fights each other. None of them get along. The only reason they get along is because they all hate Israel together. So they'll agree on that, but then as soon as that's over, then they start bickering with each other. You know, Ishmael's a wild man. His hand is against every man. They hate each other. So they all get together. Hey, let's go get Israel. Hey, let's go Israel. Okay, now's my chance. I can kill them too, you know. And before you know it, they're all dead. What happened, verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Now, I do not believe in health, wealth, and prosperity. That's not what we're preaching. But what I do know is this. There is a reward waiting for you in heaven. Amen? The promise, this is the great promise of Scripture, remember, it's found in none of the great and precious promise booklets in the Christian bookstores. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen? What a tremendous promise. But you know something? There's reward that comes along with it. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Wow, there's a reward waiting for you in heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen? That's our home. That's where our treasures are. Here we have the example of it. Israel trusts the Lord. They go out by faith. They're singing the praises of God. And God says, I'm just going to bless you. Amen? You know what? You know what? God will give you blessings in your life. Just little somethings. You remember the book of Ruth? Boaz tells his foreman, hey, drop some handfuls of purpose. Just give her a little extra, you know. Do it on purpose. You know, keep an eye on that lady over there. And every once in a while, you know, just give her a little extra. And you know, when Ruth gathered up all that barley that night and they beat it all out and she took the grain home to her mother-in-law, she said, where have you been today? Oh, I've been out there and gathering some grain. Well, how much you got? And she told her, she says, somebody's watching out for you. That is not normal. Amen? You ever had God just do something for you just because? Just because? You ever do something for your kids just because? You know? It's not their birthday. It's not Christmas. It's not Easter. Oh, we don't do that anyway. You know, I'm kidding. You know, there's no special occasion. You just decide, hey, you want to go down and get some ice cream? Do you actually do that in Minnesota? I know it gets cold up here. You ever do that just because? Does God ever do anything for you just because? Doesn't He just give you a blessing sometime? This may sound like a dumb, stupid, trivial thing to you, but it's a big. It was one of those blessings. Our evangelist we had in, he's a little bit eccentric. He likes to go to Goodwill stores. We have one Goodwill store in Amarillo. Hey, can I go to the Goodwill store? Sure. I go in there and I'm just poking around. If I need something, I'll pray. I said, Lord, I need a shirt. I need this. I need that. Would you please help me to find it? And I'll just start poking around town until the Lord helps me find what I'm looking for. I hadn't asked God for anything. I hadn't been thinking about anything. I walk in there and I start poking around. There's a suit sitting on the rack, brand new, almost brand new, name brand, clean, no tears, nothing. Fit perfect. Paid $12 for it. And I walked away saying, Lord, you're so good to me. You just gave me this for no reason. I wasn't asking. I wasn't looking. It's just there. Amen? You know, God will do that for you. You just got to be faithful. Just got to trust Him. And every once in a while, that handful of purpose comes down from heaven. And you just go, wow, the Lord really loves me. Amen. The reward. We have to remember. We have to keep our priorities straight. Eternity is what matters. Not this life. Last thing, verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. You're not always going to have to fight the battles. God will give you rest. Amen? God will give you some rest. You just be faithful and you just keep going. And every once in a while, Lord will say, take a breather. Get some rest. Where's our real rest? Amen. One day it's coming. Let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Kyle.